Malachi chapter 1, and I'd like to read verses 6 through 14. There's much to be said in this passage of Scripture about the way things have been ever since the fall. The discussion through much of this passage of Scripture is the polluted sacrifices that the priests were offering there in Jerusalem. And they went somewhat by the letter, but nothing by the spirit of the law. And so they were out. The Bible was their classroom book. It was their, they did their homework from it. They read from it. They studied from it. It was their textbook. And then for them to come to this point so many years later and be doing this thing that they're doing in this book of Malachi, and Malachi is bringing this charge against them on behalf of Almighty God. He's not speaking for himself. That's one thing a gospel prophet never did. They never spoke for themselves. They're only delivering what God delivered to them. And that's the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi, is chapter 1 and verse 1. So in verse 6, a son honoreth his father. And he's just bringing up what naturally took place among a Jewish household. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Now last week we brought up the issue that a person that knows something about the gospel, someone that God has brought to Christ, when they are something is brought to their attention. Now, it may pinch us at the moment, but God's people will take reproof. If it's scriptural reproof, they will take it. They will think about it. They'll consider it. Just like we find Apollos, they explained the things of the gospel more correct, whatever it was, and he went on his way instructed. And yet we find that these folks, when they were reproved by this gospel prophet, this gospel preacher, they said, when did we do that? We didn't do that. And goes on, you offer polluted bread. And that word bread is more than just flour and salt and whatever, yeast and whatever it was. Excuse me, it would not have been that, because it would be unleavened. But it's more than that. It has to do with the offerings, all of the offerings that were taking place. You offer polluted bread upon mine altar. And you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor, to your mayor. Pay your taxes with it. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? And now I pray you, beseech God, that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will he regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? In other words, the doors of the temple really should be shut. The way you're treating the temple and you're treating these sacrifices and you're treating this in a contemptible way and offering polluted sacrifices, you have no right to even go in there. Neither do you kindle fire in my altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the sun even to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place, incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. The Gentiles, when they hear the gospel, honor me much greater than you are, and you have been called my people. And yet we find among them there are many Esaus. And among the Gentiles, there are many Jacobs. And so they're honoring me and you are not. You are called by my name and you're not even honoring me. But when the gospel goes to these Gentiles that have been appointed before the foundation for salvation, they hear the gospel and they honor me with their prayers. They honor me with their sacrifices. They honor me. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they offered meat offerings or bread offerings or sacrifices. God is more pleased with a sacrifice of thanksgiving. But ye have profaned it in that ye say the table of the Lord is polluted and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it. Why should I take the time to do this? Levites, priests, preachers, why should I do it God's way? My way is just as good as anybody else's. Why should I do it that way? And ye have snuffed at it. You stuck your nose in the air over it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye brought that which is torn, and the lame and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? Be cursed, but cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth or promised to offer it, and sacrifices unto the Lord a corrupt thing. So what a liar it is. I will offer this and then turn around and offer something that he can't sell. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the Gentiles, among the heathen. So as we pass down through here in this passage of Scripture, we can see how the gospel has been polluted in every generation. It was polluted outside the Garden of Eden when we read about Cain offering a sacrifice that God had no joy in, had no command in. If you'll turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 4, God had no respect it. Just like these sacrifices, these offerings, these polluted offerings, truly Cain's offering was a pollution. It was a polluted offering. When Abel offered of the firstling of the flock, when he offered that without blemish and without spot, he was telling that he trusted a Savior, he trusted a God that was without blemish and without spot. That is all his hope and all his salvation. He needed a substitute. He's declaring that. And God had revealed to him that the only substitute is the Lord. And here's a picture of him. The only substitute is the perfect Son of God. In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 5, we find these words. It says, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. What does it say in verse 4? And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of the flock and the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. The Lord was pleased. It honored him. It delivered to those who observed it that this one is dependent upon a substitute, and blood is necessary for the redemption of God's people. And it's not the blood of bulls and goats, which cannot take away sin, but it's the blood of Christ. So Abel understood that this, by faith, it tells us in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, he offered a more excellent sacrifice. God had revealed these things to him. You can't educate the truth into someone. You can't educate the gospel into someone. It's a revelation. It comes by the Holy Spirit. So as we read there in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 5, it says, for God, chapter 4 and verse 5, it says, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very upset, wroth, and his countenance fell. Why doesn't God respect me like he respects my brother? I've done all that I want to do. So this kind of thought has come and gone all through the ages. Now in the book of Exodus chapter 20, there was a verse of scripture that caught my eye that I want to go along with this because it speaks of pollution. In the book of Exodus chapter 20 and verse 25, we have this, that if you're going to make an altar. Now, someone asked me today as I was visiting with them, is there any description of how to build an altar in the Bible? And I can't think of one. But I do have information like this. It says, Exodus chapter 20, verse 25, and if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shall not build it of hewn stone. You shall not take an instrument and carve on it. You shall not do that. That is not going to be an acceptable altar. For if thou lift up thy tool upon it, so if you add to this, if you add to this stone, if you get involved in forming the size, and if you get involved in forming the shape of this stone that's going to be used in this altar, God said through his minister Moses, thou hast polluted it. Now through Malachi chapter 1 there, the last 8 verses, we have a lot of words that God shared with his priests about polluting things, polluting the sacrifices. The heathen, the Gentiles, who you have no respect for at all, when the gospel comes to them, there is going to be more gladness in their hearts over the gospel, and they will show due reverence to an almighty Lord of hosts. So this idea of pollution, it's throughout the scriptures, it's throughout human history. No human tool is to touch that stone that you're going to make an altar of. No human tool. If you touch it, to shape it, form it, do anything to it. Now we're just going to step from that point to the gospel. If we apply any human improvement to the gospel, we've polluted it. We've changed it. We've made it unuseful, unacceptable. God has no respect on it. And so as we look into this, the gospel in a similar manner is used without human alteration. And I don't know how many times was brought up in the Bible class over the last year in reference to different passages of Scripture in the New Testament of warnings to the church about the possibility, the high possibility of people wanting to come in with an alteration to the gospel to make it more palatable, to make it feel better, to all sorts of things were brought in. And we find that in the books of the Apostle Paul, the books of Peter, the books of John, that these warnings went out. Don't touch the stone with your tools. Leave it as you found it. Now that's caused a problem continuously through human history because almost everyone wants to raise their tool against the gospel. Now, there is a reason for this. And would you turn with me to the book of Ezekiel chapter 16? Ezekiel chapter 16. In this great prophet's writings, I can't help but say, if we lived in the days of Ezekiel and we lived in the area of Ezekiel, or we had the ability of traveling a few miles or walking a few miles, we would want to go listen to this guy because he is God's spokesman in that time. He is God's preacher in that time. And he's unpopular, no question about it, just like Isaiah or Jeremiah was, or Malachi was. Can you imagine this man who's not accustomed? It's not in his interest to go start an argument with someone, but he brings this word of God to the priests, and they are really indignant to this preacher for what he's bringing up. And in reality, they are upset with the not the postman, but they're upset with the bill that's being delivered. And God's delivering the bill, and the preacher is the postman that's delivering it and getting upset. I suppose our postman had a number of times, why'd you deliver this bill? Well, that's what we do. When God comes and he's commanding through the preacher that we must bow to Almighty God, and we get upset with the deliverer and not the one who it's about. Well, here in the book of Ezekiel, we have the reason for the problem. Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 6. And when I passed by thee, I saw thee. Now, this is what God said about Israel, about us. you are naturally polluted. And if we have a natural pollution, we cannot present anything but pollution. That's why we have to be able, we have to be brought, new birth has to be brought to us. We cannot offer. We are so interested in our natural stance of carving on that stone. Now, it's just a little bit. There's just a little niche over here that just really rakes on me. Every time I go by it, it rakes on me. So I'm just going to cut it off a little bit and make it better. Well, once we've done that, God said, you have polluted it. I cannot have it in my altar. It will not be acceptable. So here, the reason for that is we're born in pollution. In Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 6, and when I passed by thee, I saw thee polluted in thine own blood. I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Now that's the only change that can take place, is that God must do it. He has to call us out of that pollution. And he calls us to a perfect, unpolluted Son of God. God the Son did not pass through the generation of natural man. It was not passed on to him by Joseph, because Joseph was not his father. His purity as God was not interfered with when Joseph was spoken to by the angel and said, you take this woman to be your wife, because that which is in her is of the Holy Ghost. He is not corrupt. He is not polluted. He is holy and harmless and undefiled. He will be that from eternity past to eternity future, and he never, ever, ever will become a sinner. He will bear the sins of his people. He will be imputed our sin, but a sinner, no. Perfect Son of God. So this is the problem that we face. We can never get out of this problem because we're born in pollution. We have this sin that was passed on to us from the ages. Now, the world tells us that all we have to do, the religion of the world tells us all we have to do is assent to some facts. I can remember hearing that by preachers. All you have to do is believe that Jesus is the Savior. That's all you have to do. Just consent to that. Just consent that Jesus can save you from hell. That's all you have to do. And yet we find in the Scriptures that it must be a work of the Spirit. We're not assenting. God demands pure worship, and the only way that we can give pure worship is through the Spirit of God. Join me, if you would, in John chapter 4. Those polluted offerings that those priests were offering are sharing that they had no knowledge about the true God. It was just what they heard. And they ascended to the... I'm a Jew. I'm of the tribe of Levi. I have been asked to offer these sacrifices during January, February, March, and April. And when that's over, I'll go back to my other job and everything will be fine. Well, God sends a preacher to them and says, this is not right. I will not accept these sacrifices. If you think so much of them, go offer them to the governor. And they knew in their own heart, that's not going to work. They do not know the Lord of hosts, King of kings and Lord of lords. All right, John chapter 4 and verse 23. John chapter 4 and verse 23. But the hour cometh and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It's more than an assent to facts. It's more than a consent to facts. It is taking us from our polluted life and hearing live. And that's the act of God. These folks that were offering these polluted sacrifices had no knowledge of that God. They're in their pollution. And they can't help but offer polluted sacrifices. That's the problem we face. That's why works are not sufficient. They are polluted works to begin with. Only the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit can work unpolluted works. There's no pollution in it. It's pure. And when that's imputed to us, we have the purity of the Godhead on us. Over in the book of Romans chapter 10, I have a Bible that my dad and mother gave me, and one day I was sitting in church, sitting by my dad, and I was probably dinging off a little bit, and he probably rapped me a little bit and caused me to stop doing that. And he grabbed my Bible and underlined these verses. He never went to the prior passage, earlier verses, or later verses. It was just this, because this is his formula. My father had a formula of how people were saved. Once you mention I have a formula for how people are saved, we're already offering a polluted sacrifice. Because it isn't a formula. It's a person. It's not a formula. It's not if you do this and this and this and then God will be pleased. It is God will only be pleased with his son. And all those that the son is revealed to. Romans chapter 10 verse 8. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8 says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth." And here's the important part. In thy heart. Can't get there from here unless it's revealed to us. We have no knowledge of it unless it's revealed to us. Our heart is desperately wicked. Can't get there. It's polluted. Don't even think about giving your heart to Jesus because he doesn't want it. He gives a new heart. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. What saith it? The word is in thee, even in thy mouth, and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, this is not the formula. This is the results. Thou shalt be saved. If you have that, thou shalt be saved. Don't ever do this to get there. This is what happens when they're there. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The gospel is polluted when men put anything in the place of Christ. The polluted gospel attempts to make dead birds fly. Dead horses pull. And dead people serve God. It's not going to happen. You've heard the account, beating a dead horse. That's all the law could ever do, beat a dead horse. But the gospel of God's free grace in Christ Jesus can give life, and then real worship begins. Once we touch anything about the gospel with our own inferences, our own thoughts, our own practices that are out of line with God, God said, it is polluted. And this is not pleasing to me. Cain proved it. It's polluted. I'm not happy. Anybody else does the same thing, offering their own works of righteousness. It is polluted. You're trying to make the gospel fit you. And that will not work. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and there in verse 3, 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 3, for the time will come, and I cannot help but think that Paul didn't see that at that time too. If Moses had wrote it, it's here. If Abraham had wrote it, it's here. If Noah had written it, it's here. If Abel had written it, it's here. It's all around us. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And if we turn our ears away from the truth, we're exercising a polluted offering. It is terribly polluted when we take, have, or believe anything but the blood of Christ and His righteousness. In Romans chapter 15, would you back up there a little bit in your Bibles to Romans chapter 15? In Romans chapter 15 and verse 19, through many signs, Romans chapter 15 and verse 19, through many signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about Iconium, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. He preached to people in everywhere he went that believed in a polluted gospel. Because everyone by nature has an idea of some kind of works that's going to get them in God's good favor. A polluted gospel. Because we start this world polluted and we have no other offering to make but polluted offerings until we're born again. And that's the only time that we can start to offer holy offerings, true offerings, proof of the, as we see here, the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and round about Iconium, I fully preached the gospel of Christ. I didn't try to change it. What did he do with Stephen's gospel? The gospel of grace that Stephen preached. He did everything he could to change it. And in that, he polluted it. He said, I believed I was of the tribe of Benjamin, a Jew, a tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and that was enough. And by the grace of God, he was shown this is not enough. We must have the grace of God. The polluted gospel perverts the order of God. Why? The order of God, well, the world, the gospel of the world, the polluted gospel believes that the sinner elects God, then God elects the sinner. I chose God, and then He chooses me. I love God, and there He loves me. Well, we find this is exactly opposite of the gospel. That is a polluted gospel to have that order. God is not going to be attracted by or interested in us at all by our works of righteousness. He's only interested in us because of grace. And that grace was given to us in Christ before the foundation of the world. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that take heed, as of a light that shineth in a dark place. Now, the polluted gospel says we're already light. The gospel says we're already in darkness. And this light shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star, Christ, arise in the hearts. So we're already dark. We've got it mixed up. We think we're in light, but we're in darkness. We need the light, and the light is Christ. The claims of the polluted gospel is that the sinner elects God, and we find that is so contrary to Scripture in so many places. In fact, we find in the very beginning of the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, these words that the Apostle Paul wrote to our friends, our brothers and sisters in Christ, there in Ephesus, and it's recorded for us in the book of Ephesians. This, my Bible says, the epistle of Paul to the apostle to the Ephesians. I should say the epistle of the Holy Spirit to the Ephesians. Paul was just a secretary. He would agree with that. Paul wrote by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. We read over, we love him because he first loved us. So the gospel has been polluted in every era, century. The gospel is The polluted gospel really lets people down. There's no up with the polluted gospel. And this polluted gospel lets us down now and lets people down later because there's nothing in it. It's non-God honoring. It is un-God honoring. It cannot honor God. And only the gospel gives hope for eternity. Brother Bruce Crabtree's father pastored for 50 years. And he and Bruce were contrary over the gospel. Bruce believed that God's gospel is from the Lord, and his dad believed and preached that the gospel is in us, and we elect God, and then God elects us. And in his dying days, he comes to his son and says, "Oh, Bruce, what am I going to do? No hope in it. There's no satisfaction in it." So if you turn with me to the book of Galatians, this gospel, it is just lets people down in time and in eternity. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Paul spent a lot of writing here by inspiration to those saints in the area of Galatia, the churches of Galatia that he spent a lot of time in and preaching. And here in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4 it says, "Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace." You have no, there's no peace in this. When you're without Christ, he's become of no effect to you. And there's nothing. You can't offer a decent sacrifice. You can't offer a decent prayer. You can't offer a decent thanksgiving without Christ. It's unable. And then we find in Matthew chapter 7, later, this polluted gospel, Matthew chapter 7. The names are there. In Isaiah chapter 7, it talks about seven women marrying one man and said, "We don't want your bread and we don't want your clothes, but we want your name." And that is really what the polluted gospel is about. I want my righteousness, and I'll feed myself on whatever I choose, but I want the name of Christian because it is palatable. Or I want the name of Muslim because it's palatable. Or I want the name of whatever. Well, here in the book of Matthew chapter 7 and verse 23, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 23, the Lord Jesus with the polluted gospel that these people are depending upon for time and eternity, he says, "And then will I profess unto them." Now who? Verse 22. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works." The opposite is true of the sheep. "When did we serve you?" To the goats, "We've done all of this. Shouldn't that be enough?" And the Lord spoke through the prophet, preacher, man of God, Moses, said, "You touched this stone and you've polluted it." And these guys have touched it time and time again, trying to make it fit them. And it tells us there in Matthew chapter 7, verse 23, "Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." So the polluted gospel just cannot lift anybody out of the pit. It only is going to let them down in time. What's the use? I just can't work enough. And here, in eternity, instead of hearing, "Welcome, thou good and faithful servant," and everybody that hears those words, "When was I that?" And on the other side, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you, even in all this that you did." The truth of the gospel declares the power, glory, and majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ. Modern Christianity is really big business. Success is measured not by gospel preaching, but by how many people we can attract. The numbers and dollar signs. And Peter mentions in 2 Peter chapter 2, making merchandise out of you. Making merchandise out of you. You're nothing more than, the gospel truly sets the saints free. Turn with me there again to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. Those guys, those priests, they had all their credentials. They were not like a group of those that came with Ezra back to Jerusalem. And they got there and they started looking through the books and, you're not even a Jew. You've been pretending all this time that you're a Jew over there in Babylon. And the priest, you don't have any priesthood in your line. You don't have a genealogy of a priesthood. We can't use you. And here, this gospel is, we can't use you. God says, it's just not going to be of any effect. But here in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Stand fast in the liberty. Christ is everything. Our faith is everything in Him. He's created that faith, and that is His work in His people. And we have that faith because He's put it there. So stand fast there within the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And you know what? When God's people hear God say, this is the sacrifice that's acceptable, and that sacrifice is the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Why? Thankful for grace. Thankful for grace. Thankful for grace. Because if God should keep track of sin, who can stand? One other verse, found in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 34. Jeremiah chapter 34. In the book of Leviticus, we looked at that year of Jubilee, every 50th year. If you were a slave, you were set free. If you sold yourself into bondage, you're set free. If you sold your property, it's back in your hands. Every 50th year, this took over, and it's such a picture of what we have in Christ. And, you know, in that time, and as time went on, people would say, okay, you're free. And then they would say, oh, man, who am I going to get to do the work? And Jeremiah brings this up. Jeremiah chapter 34 and verse 16, it says, but you turned and polluted my name and caused every man his servant and every man his handmaid, whom ye had set at liberty at their pleasure. What's this? You polluted my name by saying there's liberty, and then to return and brought them into subjection to be made unto you for servants and for handmaids. You promised them liberty and you didn't give it to them. And that's exactly what the polluted gospel does. It binds. There's no peace in it. There's no comfort in it. It's walking along and saying, I hope I can make it and God will be pleased with what I'm doing. And then find out God is not pleased at all with what we're doing. He's pleased with what Christ has already done. So these guys here in the book of Malachi, they're just the telltale thing. It doesn't matter what level you reach. They'd reach Levitical priesthood. High order. Doesn't matter how high of order it is, they offered polluted sacrifices. It doesn't matter whether it had been a servant offering the same sacrifices. God would have been just as unpleased with it. He's only satisfied with the sacrifice of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all those that He had in Him. That's His only satisfaction. So, there's one thing about the polluted gospel too. There's always someone ready to tell others that they're not doing a very good job. You're just not. You're going to have to come to our Wednesday or Friday night Bible study. You're going to have to come to our Monday night Bible study. You're going to have to come to our Tuesday night Bible study so we can get this corrected. Well, God takes care of that in regeneration. And God's people worship God all the time. We get together because we enjoy each other's company. We hear the gospel, but we get to be around people who love God. Well, Lord willing, next time we'll pick up in chapter 2 of the book of Malachi.